Welcome to the Growing with Nature podcast. I'm your host, Darren Williams, permaculture enthusiast, restoration ecologist, and founder of Growing with Nature. Too often, we hear that the best thing we can do for nature is to leave it alone. But people are a part of nature, and you can make the living world around you come alive with abundance for people, plants, and wildlife, even in your own backyard. Join me on a journey through regenerative soil building, permaculture, restoration ecology, and more. To learn concrete steps you can take at home to support wildlife, grow incredible, delicious food, and help heal our living world right in your own backyard. Ready to get started? Grab a shovel, roll up your sleeves, and let's make the living world around you come alive. In this episode, we're going to look at why your property needs snags. Often people don't like keeping around dead trees, aka snags. But snags are critical to supporting all sorts of wildlife that you know and love, from owls to woodpeckers and even native bees. If you want to support wildlife, snags are a great option. Keeping dead trees around your property might seem like a strange thing to do. Most of the time people clear dead trees away. But dead standing trees, also known as snags, are critical for wildlife, and without them, lots of different types of wildlife won't be able to survive on your property. If you've ever visited an old-growth forest here in western Washington, you will see lots of very large snags and downed logs. Old stories from the first loggers that visited these forests talk about only being able to walk through the forest by walking on the logs. There weren't any clear paths on the forest floor. There was just so many logs that the logs were the only paths through the forest. And snags were far more common in these forests, too, back then. The result was a forest with a mixed canopy, one with large trees mixed in with smaller ones, and then scattered openings that let light reach the forest floor. This mosaic pattern of large trees, small trees, a closed canopy, open areas, down logs, snags, and small clearings, this mosaic pattern supported a vast range of wildlife, far more than our much more uniformed, managed forests of today. And chances are today, you don't live in an area with old-growth forests. If your property is like the one I live on, it was historically forested, but was cleared sometime in the past. While digging ponds on my property, I found old large red cedar roots buried in the field just below a black and red layer, marking where the old forest was cleared and then burned to make a field. This probably happened a good 100 years or so in the past. And I can't bring that old forest back with, that forest had a small stream and towering red cedars. But I can help to bring back part of the habitat that wildlife need to thrive by adding snags to my property. In return, that diversity of wildlife will help make the land more abundant for my family and I. So let's explore why your property needs snags to cultivate abundance, and then look at what you can do where you live. And if you like what you hear today, then please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. Your review will help more people find us. People like you who want to bring these skills home to enjoy wildlife, grow more food, and help heal our living world. Okay, let's get started. When I first started learning about the importance of snags and logs, one statement really stood out to me. That statement was that there is more living biomass in a dead tree than a living one. By weight, a dead tree is more alive than a standing one. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that a snag or a log is more important than a living tree, but it does show just how much wildlife relies on snags and logs. The book The Hidden Forest by John Luma gives a great introduction to the research being done on this. I've put a link to the book in the resources section of the show notes. That book is currently on my bookshelf, and I've read it multiple times. It's a great book, and I highly recommend it. It will really help you understand why snags are so important, and the logs, and just how a forest lives and grows, and just all the dynamics that exist in it, from the forest floor up to the life in the canopy. It's a great book, so really hope you'll check it out. When a tree dies, or even starts to die, bugs move in and start breaking down the dead wood. Woodpeckers then show up and do what they do. They start to hammer away, making holes to get to grubs and other bugs. And if the snag is big enough, The woodpecker might make a deep cavity that drops down into the middle of the tree as their nest. These cavities are later used by all sorts of other cavity nesters, like owls and wood ducks, which can't make their own cavity nests. And remember those little holes that beetle larvae and other bugs make? Those holes are used by some species of native solitary bees for their nests. Along with leaving dead flower stems, keeping snags around is a great way to support native bees. As a snag continues to break down, the wildlife it supports changes. And once it eventually does fall to the ground, that log can become a nurse log, supporting the next generation of trees. Plus, amphibians like salamanders love to hide in these rotten logs. I could keep going on about all the wildlife that use snags, but what I really hope you take away from this is that snags aren't just a dead tree. They're filled with life, and if you cut down and remove snags on your property, then all the wildlife that rely on them won't be able to survive. And unfortunately, snags are fairly rare these days, especially large ones, due to the way our forests tend to be managed. But if you want to support wildlife and you live in a historically forested area, then your property needs snags. But what to do if your property doesn't have snags? I've been dealing with this on our property. There were just a few trees along the fence line when we moved here, and no snags. The solution is to quote-unquote plant snags. This can be done in two ways. First, place salvaged logs in the ground, like you would a fence post. And the other option is plant trees that you will later girdle to kill them to make them into snags. The first option is the easiest, and I've been doing this a lot on our property. You can even do this on urban lots. You can use a post hole digger to make a hole just like you would for a fence post. Make sure the hole is wide enough for the log, of course, and then just stick the log down into the hole and pack in the removed soil around it to hold it in place. To be safe, make sure around a third or so of the log is buried. While you can use large equipment to plant large snags, and this is done for restoration projects where really big snags are planted, I know this isn't an option for everyone. I've stuck to just logs that one to two people can easily carry on my property. Now, these logs don't make for large snags, but they still help. I've seen woodpeckers and lots of other wildlife visiting the ones I've planted. You know, I've gotten pictures of hawks and other birds, perched on them. They're used all the time. And to improve the benefit these small snags provide for wildlife, I've started drilling small holes in them for solitary native bees to use. Instead of building native bee hotels, I've just been using these small snags to support the bees. Drilling holes isn't necessary, but it does speed up the process. And I've put a link in the resources section of the show notes to a great PDF from the Michigan State University Extension all about building and managing bee hotels for wild bees. You can apply the guidelines in that PDF to your snags. The second option to getting snags on your property is to turn existing trees into snags. These can be either trees you planted for this purpose or overcrowded trees that are already on your property. A lot of forest land is overcrowded and filled with trees that are all the same age. Just look at the trees in your forest and see if there's much variation in the height and size of them. A healthy forest should have a mosaic with trees of different sizes, ages, and species, resulting in a mixed canopy that also has open areas. This is what you tend to find in old-growth forests, at least here in the temperate climate areas. And snags are a big part of this sort of forest. You can help improve an unhealthy, overcrowded forest by girdling some of the trees to make them into snags. I've put a link about girdling in the resources section of the show notes, but basically you're cutting a ring around the tree that cuts off the flow of water and nutrients up and down the tree. This will give the remaining trees more space to grow and should improve their health. And the new snags will improve the habitat that the forest provides for wildlife. You can make the snags safer by cutting off the top of the tree so that the remaining snag is around 20 feet tall. This is tall enough to support lots of wildlife and makes the snag less likely to fall. The top part of the tree can be left as a log on the ground, turned into a critter home. We talked about that in a recent podcast episode. Or you can use it for firewood if you need that. This can be a good way to create habitat while still harvesting some of the wood if needed. And you can do all of this yourself, but hiring a professional is the safer option. Kind of depends on how big the trees are. And, you know, if you're going to be climbing up a tree with a chainsaw, probably better to hire a professional. And if you don't have an existing forest on your property, you can plant trees with the idea that you will turn some of them into snags when they get big enough. I'm planning on planting lots of native red alders on my property. These native trees grow quickly and fix nitrogen, which along with the leaves they drop each fall, can help improve the health of your soil. You can plant them very densely and then thin them as they grow until you're left with a smaller number of trees. Some of the thin trees can be cut down and either left on the ground or used for firewood. But you can also girdle some of them to create snags. This can be a great way to quickly improve the health of an area and create the conditions other trees and plants need to thrive. I'm hoping to use this approach to transform our degraded fields into abundant native forests and food forests. Red alders are a good option here in Western Washington, but this approach can be done with other fast-growing trees. I like to use native nitrogen-fixing trees like red alders, since the extra nitrogen can help other plants grow and thrive. And there's all different types of alders that can be found all over the temperate world. Regardless of the approach you take, the goal is to increase the number of snags on your property and do it in a safe way. Generally, the goal should be roughly 4 large snags, roughly 4 of them per acre. Though when you're using small snags, I like to have more than that. But if you can, and you don't have big snags, if you can't really get the really large ones that an owl could nest in a cavity inside of, one option is to put up like barn owl boxes or other owl boxes on the smaller snags. That's a great way to kind of provide the habitat if you don't have it. But regardless, planting small logs is the easiest and quickest option. But thinning an overcrowded forest that you either plant or that you either planted or that already exists on your property can result in, you know, getting larger snags and better overall habitat. But of course, it takes more time. And if you're just starting out, I would start with planting small logs that you can salvage and carry around. You know, plant those in the ground like you would have, you know, you're using the word plant, but you're basically putting a post in the ground. You know, use those to create snags, but just keep the other options in mind, especially if you have your own land and you're going to be there for a long time. And just remember, if you live in an area that used to be forested, then your property needs snags if you want to support wildlife and cultivate abundance for people, plants, and wildlife. And if you're wondering where to get the logs, you know, keep your eyes open for down trees in the winter. You know, even like a big leaf maple here, it's a very large maple. And it's a single branch from a big leaf maple can is easily big enough that you're not going to be carrying it. But you could cut a section of that and, you know, use that as a snag. And often people are wanting to get rid of, you know, these big branches or logs when they fall down. So just keep your eyes open for that and see if you can, grab a few. And then also, you know, one thing I've done is I've gone to development sites where people are going to be bulldozing the whole area and they're just going to clear all the down wood and any snags in that forest. So, you know, I'll cut down dead trees, snags, and I'll load them up in a pickup truck and take them home. You know, and I'll look for down logs and I'll salvage what I can from these sites. You know, I have with permission, of course, but it's a great way to use them, that material that would have either been chipped up for wood chips or just burned. So those are some options. You know, once you start looking, you'll start finding this sort of material. And finally, if you're lucky enough to already have snags on your property, then please leave them. If you're worried about safety, then you can have the top part cut down. Just make sure to leave at least the bottom 20 feet of the snag standing. And the bigger the snag is and the taller, the better. But this is a good compromise for providing habitat for wildlife while having safe keeping it safe too. Woodpeckers and lots of other wildlife will thank you for keeping the snags around. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we will look at the most important reason to plant native plants. And don't forget to check out the show notes for more links and resources related to this episode. I've also included a link to a great YouTube video all about snags and their role in the landscape that can build on off of this episode and help you get started. All right, I hope you enjoyed that episode, and thank you for listening to the Growing with Nature podcast. This podcast is made possible thanks to our patrons over on patreon.com. Thank you, patrons, for supporting our work. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. Your review will help more people find us, people like you who want to bring these skills home to support wildlife, grow food, and help heal our living world. Well, that's all for now. See you next week, same time, same place. Have a great week, and keep on growing.